Parenting and Parents on 702.
Parenting and Parents feature time. This is part two of a conversation we started last week because there really was so much to get through around children's discipline at schools, as in teachers should not be parenting kids in classrooms, but where does that balance sit of discipline? And a big part of the feedback that we're having in that conversation was some were saying children of today have too many rights, so now they find themselves misbehaving. And then you have teachers, principals who say our hands are tied because of policies that maybe don't necessarily work in real life. So we are having part two to get more of your questions answered, and you can send them through or give us a call, 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. And we continue now with part two with the head of the Postgraduate Certificate in Education at the South African College of Applied Psychology, Dr. Rajendran Naidu. Doctor, welcome back. Thank you so much for coming through again.
Thank you, Rebel. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
So, Doctor, I want to pick up on, you know, a big part of the conversation that we covered in the first part of the discussion when I asked what discipline is, and you went on to speak about respect and, you know, respect for the environment, respect for the place of the school. And we obviously started to have a conversation around where does the role of parents fit in and where does the role of educators fit in? Where does the role of principals, for example, fit in? But I want to just summarize again your views around respect, especially considering the input that was put through, the input from, you know, both our sides and the listeners, of them giving their feedback, with my input being, well, back in the days, there was a time I was labeled as disrespectful because I was asking questions. Now we know that that's what children do, and the more curious, the better. It's a learning opportunity. I really want us to find a way in this conversation to not just leave educators feeling empowered, but also to leave parents feeling empowered and even the children themselves feeling empowered.
Thank you, Neville. Just pick up from where we had left off. Yes, you know, everything comes down to respect when you talk of discipline.
Mm.
Because, you know, respect, if you are disruptive in class, it shows that you do not respect the rights of the rest of the class to a noise-free education.
Mm.
And schools are not just focusing on, you know, content, subjects and on science or history and geography, but on the holistic development of the learner, because schools, you know, are meant to prepare learners for adulthood. And you need to instill these values in them. Respect is central to all the other values.
Mm.
And I think schools, you know, that becomes a major part of the school's vision and mission. It should be integral to it.
Mm.
I also want to say that even the school environment, you know, the educators should work collaboratively with parents, but the school environment has a major impact on the subconscious of the learners. If the school is orderly, if the school is clean, neat and tidy,
mm.
and you will find that, and there's systems in place, you will find that the learners then behave, you know, better,
mm.
because there is an order and there is systems and procedures for dealing with issues.
Mm.
So the school has its role to play in terms of discipline, as well as parents. Parents also need to make sure that when their child is at home, there needs to be routine. You know, the time for relaxation, for maybe watching television, there's time for doing homework, and that routine, you know, needs to be instilled in learners, and it contributes towards ensuring that there's order, and where there's order, then there's discipline. Thank you, Debo.
So I'm wondering, Doctor, you know, as you've been speaking, and a lot of the input from the listeners was around the fact that society as a whole has changed. You know, we touched on the fact that when we were growing up, if you got a hiding next door and you come to tell your parents, you're getting another hiding because everybody contributed to raising you. But I was just starting to think a lot more around mirroring. And I'm wondering if the ill discipline of children that we are seeing today is because they are mirroring what we, the adults, are doing. And I'm saying we and children in very general terms, but I think everybody understands, because it isn't just what the parents do. It's the aunts and uncles. It's all those that influence. But would you say that children are literally just reflecting back what we, the adults, are not doing right?
I don't know if you can say that. It's, you know, there's a lot of factors that contribute to the ill discipline of learners. And that includes, you know, psychosocial factors as well. You know, there's this concept that all learners go to school with two bags. And if they're not the conventional school bag that's got their books and their lunchbox and so on, and then there's the virtual bag. Now, inside this virtual bag, there is a familial, cultural, and linguistic resources. However, in the case of a working class child, very often that bag contains poverty, insufficient resources at home, such as access to reading material, lack of family structure, and fragmented relationships. And add to that, you know, bullying, even if it's cyberbullying, peer pressure, you know, all those things that come into play. And the behavior of learners is actually a manifestation of, you know, psychosocial issues. And it is important for educators, even for parents, to look into that bag, into that virtual bag, and connect with the learners or with their child, and then be able to you know, make the child feel safe to open up and talk about, you know, these psychosocial issues, like I just mentioned, like peer pressure and bullying and you know, exposure to substance abuse and promiscuity and so on. All those issues come in. It's not just, I wouldn't say it's mirroring.
Yes.
You know, but I would, you know, I would say, even though we might think that, you know, that hiding that you got from the neighbor, yeah, and if you came home and reported you got hiding again, that disciplined, you know, us. No, it did not. In fact, that is why we have become such a violent society, because we have seen, we've been modeling the behavior of the previous generations. So they have a problem with someone. How do you solve that problem? You beat the person up.
Yes.
And that's, you know, using violence to solve problems. And therefore, you know, you find that nowadays, you know, people take very easily to using violence. And we should not justify, we should not say that, you know, beating a child up or using corporal punishment, it can never be justified.
It's so interesting, you say that because there'll always be multiple schools of thought. And we know what the law says. We all are very clear on that. That is not what's up for debate. Gavin, who had sent through a WhatsApp message, was saying society was far less violent when we had corporal punishment. What are your thoughts on that? Because there are some people who vehemently defend the fact that they were beat up as children, saying, I could have been in jail by now. I could have been on drugs if it weren't for the beatings that I got.
I'm not saying that it didn't bring about a change in behavior, but there's other ways to effect the change in behavior.
Mm.
Less, you know, less violent, less traumatic ways of changing, you know, children's behavior. So I still believe that, you know, sometimes you see people, maybe whether they're getting involved in a fist fight or, you know, even in exchanging vulgarities and so on. Where does that come from? You know, where does that type of behavior come from? So, yes, maybe, you know, in the times like 30, 40 years ago, we were, you know, less violent because we lived in a police state.
And also, I mean, the reason I don't support that argument is because I think the reason that we are now so violent is because we lived in fear for so long, and we all have a whole lot of bottled up issues that are being carried over. So I don't think, you know, I don't support the fact that while corporal punishment made things better, I don't believe that is the case. You only see multiple generations after the inherited and generational trauma that will manifest itself in different ways. But I'm wondering, Doctor, with now this blur of lines of discipline, where would you say the responsibility needs to sit? I saw, you know, I'm part of many parenting groups and forums, and I follow many parenting accounts just wanting to, you know, be a better parent and be very much aware and informed also for this feature. And a parent was talking about how, and it might seem like nothing, but she was speaking about the fact that in her home, they don't allow cell phones, and they had a sleepover party and other kids came with cell phones. And she was asking, am I allowed to have a rule in my house for other kids? And then if that now applies, what does that mean even for teachers? So even the parents themselves are trying to still navigate this new world of rules and asking for permission. So before we do go to the lines and the messages, where does the parents' responsibility end and the teachers begin, and vice versa? I feel there are parents who want to extend rules, extend certain things. There are parents who want to collaborate. There are parents who want to be a part of the solution. But there are also teachers who want to do that, but feel like the law has chopped off their power.
You know, the law has not chopped off the power. The Education Act, the South African Schools Act, has established, has put in place school governing bodies. It is, and the principle behind this is that parents need to play a vital role, a key role in their children's schooling. Their parents and the educators need to work very closely together, because ultimately they're all working towards the same goal, which is to educate the child and to prepare the child for adulthood. So, and the issue you spoke about, cell phones, and whether the parent has a right to, you know, have rules in her home for other, you know, the other children, absolutely yes, that's your home, and the, and you decide what is acceptable and what is not acceptable
yes.
in your home.
Yes.
So, if, you know, as a parent, if that's a rule in your home that you don't allow cell phones. Mm. So that if there's a, if there's somebody visiting for maybe, you know, a short while, that maybe you can, that's fine. But somebody who's staying over, then that's that, that's a difference, you know.
Yes.
Then they are just as good as being part of your family.
Mm.
They're staying over. So the rules that apply to your family should also apply to those
yes.
who are, you know, in your home and they're staying over. So the thing is, that is an example of setting barriers.
Yes.
You know, there needs to be boundaries. So, and you set boundaries, and then those barriers should not be crossed. So, and you need to apply them consistently, even in the classroom, even in the home. You know, these boundaries, they serve as parameters within which, you know, the child can function. Now,
So, Doctor, what I'd like to do, just because I see a whole lot of questions coming through and I want to give everybody an opportunity, let me start with the WhatsApp messages and I'll make notes so you can respond to all of them. The one says, respect starts at home. Teachers teach and they are not parents to disobedient students. Another one says, good afternoon, Relebogile. I have to respectfully disagree with the doctor regarding corporate punishment. Many countries use it, yet are devoid of societal violence. There must be other factors that fuel violent behavior in South Africa. And I acknowledge that message. Maybe this won't be the conversation to fully get to the heart of that, but the law is what it is. Another one says, I used to work with doctors that came from India and worked at rural areas in South Africa. Most let their children attend local schools, even learn the language. These doctors' children did very well at school and proceeded to leading universities locally and abroad. Enabling environments at home, school and community do certainly achieve a lot, is what is said there. And let's quickly go to Bashir in Lanesia. Bashir, how are you?
Hi, how are you, madam?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks for affording me this opportunity. I think last week we had a similar topic. I think we had another ex-principal, and now we have a doctor. My point is, I don't think these people you're getting on your show, madam, are conversant with the Corporal Punishment Act promulgated in 1994.
Bashir, is this around the act that you wanted to talk about?
No. Listen, madam. I am saying the children have got the total freedom to do as they please. I've got children that are selling drugs in the school. I call the police and nothing can be done. I got a child in my school that was charged, he killed someone in the holiday. He comes back to school and he is allowed back in the school with the total freedom as if nothing has happened. I've got video footage of children throwing massive pots of millennial and milk. And that is for the indigenous schools. And yet nothing can be done. I've got the video footage of two people being killed in 2 minutes.
Mm.
The school principal summons the police to the school to say there is a child that is rowdy.
So Bashir,
madam,
I'm sorry. I want to give the doctor an opportunity to respond to you. So can you just get to your final
point? The doctor has very romanticized and he has encrossed his whole engagement.
Okay, I hear you, Bashir in Lanesia. David in Midrand, let me quickly give you an opportunity before I let the doctor respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, high level. Thank you for getting me through. Yeah, I also want to disagree with the doctor. I think the doctor is just, it's not realistic.
So can I quickly ask you a question, David?
Yes,
as it stands, yes. Corporal punishment is illegal. So
yes.
Maybe I'm struggling to understand and how, bring me into your world. That how are we arguing something that is currently not legal? Because I doubt yourself and Bashir, who are complaining about corporal punishment, are not exactly trying to apply for it to be brought back.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is these policies are created by us.
Mm.
So we cannot be taking stuff from other people. We have to look into South Africa in a South African perspective.
It is a South African perspective, though, because...
It's not working.
Yes, but the doctor works in South Africa. Do you understand that he's speaking from a South African perspective?
From an academic perspective. Wait.
Let me clear. Doctor, you were a principal for how long?
For 17 years.
In a township school.
Masibam Mbane Secondary School is one of the top performing township schools.
So...
And in the 17 years I've been at the school, for about 15 of those 17 years, the metric pass rate was always above 80%.
So, David, is it fair, to also acknowledge that what the doctor's speaking about is speaking from perspective? I'm not in any way dismissing the fact that there are many areas that are completely out of control. We are saying, from the doctor's perspective and the work that he's done, there are other ways. Can you at least recognize and acknowledge that aspect of the conversation?
Yes, I do. When you ask the doctor about the people that put it differently, his answer was, yes, it can still work. It's not like he says he actually agrees completely with what he says, because in reality, it does not work.
Mm. Okay, and I hear what you're saying. And Jonathan, very quickly, you've got 10 seconds to quickly give your point.
Okay. My problem is the method. We must find a method which can be suitable for kids to be punished. So we must think out of the box. What methods that's suitable that can be allowed? To take a child, let the child stand against the wall. And then as she's standing, or he's standing against the wall, to tell him to go to the, he must go down to the level of a sitting position. All right? Stay for about 30 minutes.
I get what you're saying. I think what you're trying to say, Jonathan, is there must be some form of punishment. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask the doctor to stay with us to wrap up and respond to all of your comments as we go to the news.
Parenting and Parents on 702.
As we wrap up our Parenting and Parents feature, start to send through your Naked Scientist questions, 072-702-1702. And Dr. Ranjandran Naidu has been chatting to us, who is the head of the Postgraduate Certificate in Education at South African College of Applied Psychology. Doctor, there is a lot of resistance when it comes to this conversation around corporal punishment. And from the amount of reading I have done, my understanding is that when you put certain measures in play, even just from watching the TV show Super Nanny, is that it requires consistency. It requires a whole lot of work and effort. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. So it might look like hitting children is going to solve the issue because now they're afraid of you, but it doesn't necessarily solve the long-term issue. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Lebo, we should focus on positive discipline and using positive, instilling discipline in a positive way, not a quick fix. Corporal punishment is a quick fix, and it's not a long-term solution. So if you can instill discipline in a positive way, maintain the dignity of the learner, build the self-image and the self-esteem of the learner.
Mm.
Let the learner see value in the discipline. The learner needs to see, for example, in a classroom, the teacher should, together with the learners, set the rules, classroom rules.
Mm.
For example, one of the rules is you cannot be late to class. You cannot use cell phone unless you are instructed to do so. That rule should also apply to the teacher.
Mm.
The teacher cannot be late to class. The teacher should not be using cell phone when the teacher is in class.
Mm.
So when the child can see that the rules are not punitive and the rules are not there, to punish them, the rules are there for their benefit.
Mm.
When they can see that whatever you are doing for their benefit, they will be, you know, that discipline will come from inside them. And you wouldn't even need to force it there because they see value in it. So as, you know, as adults, it is our responsibility, you know, to instill in learners self-belief, because it is only when they believe in themselves, then they will set goals, and they will set goals and strive towards those goals. So a learner at the start of the year, one of the first things, you know, the teacher should do, or especially the life orientation teacher, is goal setting. And these learners should set goals, short-term and long-term goals. At the end...
Oh, I think we've lost you there, doctor.
The school needs to instill...
All right, I think we've lost you there, doctor, but we got the gist of what it is that you are saying. I'm going to commit for us to revisit conversations like this because of the discussions around corporal punishment and the frustrations of many parents, many teachers, many educators, and learners themselves. And maybe the next time we visit this conversation, let's have a group of school kids in the studio to share with us what they're not receptive and what they are receptive to. Thank you so much, Doctor.